Welcome to More in the Word, a podcast of More Theological College in Sydney, Australia, that seeks to glorify God through biblically sound, thought-provoking, and challenging talks and interviews. In this episode, from a chapel service held on Friday, the 24th of October, 2025, Roger Burgess, staff worker at EV Church in Elena, speaks on Psalms 31 to 33 and the call, cause, and climax of joy. Roger reminds us that it is fitting for God's people to shout for joy, that creation and redemption give us great cause for joy, and that the pinnacle of joy is God Himself. We hope you find the episode helpful.
John Chapman used to say that he started each day in reverse as a Christian. And as he opened his Bible and prayed, he went through neutral, and then first gear, second gear, started moving forward. Our hearts are naturally dull to God, and we need warming up. Psalm 33 is a blazing fire, friends. I see it as the climax of a cluster of three psalms. In 31, the Christ deals with the external threat of evil through his own sufferings. In 32, he deals with the internal threat of sin. And in 33, we're brought to God. Christ suffered once, 31. For sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, 32, to bring you to God, Psalm 33. Psalm 33 also stands out in Book 1 of the Psalms. It's one of only a few that doesn't mention I or me. It's an us and we affair, a thoroughly congregational event, God with his people. It's also mostly positive. There's no direct reference to enemies or foes, and that's very rare in Book 1. You might remember Psalm 1, the promise of life in God. Psalm 2, the life comes through God's king, and then blow me down. Psalm 3, the king says, how many are my foes? Who would have thought? And that's the first step on the path of pain for God's king. He's in distress, Psalm 4. He's crying for help, Psalm 5. He's worn out from groaning, Psalm 6. And on it goes, and you get to Psalm 31, and God's king must suffer here on earth and then taste glory. It's trials, then triumph. And as it is for God's king, so it is for his followers. Jesus, the eternal king, said to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. And don't we know it? Some of us, even here this morning, feel it acutely. A disappointment, perhaps. A diagnosis. A deep longing unmet. Despair, even. But in the midst of these trials of Book 1, there's the joy of Psalm 33. If Book 1 is a work calendar, Psalm 33 is a public holiday. Now, there are pockets of joy through Book 1, but 33 is pure joy. Isn't God kind to give us these moments along the way? I want to look at under three headings, the call to joy, the cause for joy, and the climax of joy. Firstly, the call to joy, verse 1. Have a look at it there in your Bible. Sing joyfully to the Lord. And then you get to the end of verse 3. Shout for joy. If you can't sing, then just shout. Get excited for the Lord. And this is not a suggestion, friends. It's a command. And it's not linked to any particular circumstances. Good times, sing to the Lord. Bad times, sing to the Lord. Occasionally I go and watch the Parramatta Eels, my football team. Now, they only sing the team song when they win, so you don't hear it very often. But God's team song is always playing. Win or lose, sing to the Lord. Now, who's doing this? Well, it's you righteous. Now, isn't it a relief, friends, that the righteous in the Old Testament are not the perfect people, the sinless ones, the exact opposite. They're the people who trust in the Lord to forgive their sins. You see it so clearly at the end of 32. Just look at it there with me at the end of verse 10, the second part there. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Then quickly again, rejoice in the Lord, be glad, you righteous. The trusting one is the righteous one. It's so clear. Salvation is not for the achiever, friends, but for the believer. What a wonderful gospel. What a wonderful Saviour. And I just pause and ask this question. If you're feeling defeated by your sin right now, look up. Look up and see afresh your Saviour who is stronger and better Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. And joyful singing is fitting for the believer. See that in verse 1 there? It's fitting for the upright to praise him. I've got this old jumper at home and it fits. I want to wear it every day during the cold months, but my wife won't let me. She actually cares how I look. But getting excited for the Lord fits so nicely on God's people. It's comfortable. It's right. There's no dressing dilemma needed. I'll take it, thanks. It's perfect. There's the call to joy. Secondly, the cause for joy. There are two big ones. Firstly, creation. So verse 4, you see, the word of the Lord is right and true. Now, that's a headline, the first of two headlines. And the story for that headline comes in 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Then the psalmist mentions the starry host, day 1 of creation. The waters, verse 7, day 2 of creation. The earth, verse 8, day 3 of creation. It's a brief sermon on half of Genesis 1 with two applications. Everyone should fear the Lord or revere him, verse 8. But God's people go beyond that and rejoice in him. There's delight in the designer. He spoke, verse 9, and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. So sing joyfully, which we've done this morning. The singing at college is a heck of a lot better than when I was here. I'll tell you what. Charles Darwin is seen as one of the fathers of the theory of evolution, which is used to conceal God as creator. Listen to what he wrote at the end of his life. My mind has changed during the last 20 or 30 years. Poetry of many kinds gave me great pleasure. Pictures and music gave me great delight. But now for many years, I cannot endure to read a line of poetry. Music sets me thinking about what I've been at work on instead of giving me pleasure. I retain some taste for fine scenery, but it does not cause me to delight in it as it formerly did. My mind seems to have become a kind of machine for grinding general laws out of large collections of facts. How sad. Now, I don't pretend to know exactly why that happened, but it's not unreasonable to see a link between denying the Creator and declining joy. Hands up if you want less joy in your life. Well, let's turn off our phones, or turn off the telly if you're over 50, and look up to the starry hosts and look out on the valley. Now, that might be a bit hard here in Newtown. I don't know, but I do know they're growing trees out of skyscrapers down there at Broadway, so anything's possible. But anyway, the second cause of joy is redemption. Verse 5 gives the headline there. So you get a headline again. The earth is full of his unfailing love. That's Exodus 34 language. God's chosen people gathered at Mount Sinai. David was obsessed with that event and its implications. The Lord appears to Moses. The Lord, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in hesed, steadfast love. That's one of three uses in this psalm and one of seven uses in the cluster, 31, 32, 33. Have a look at it later for yourself. There's the unfailing love headline there in verse 5, and then the stories in 10 to 19. God had a plan to save his chosen people, the purpose of his heart through all generations, verse 11. Pharaoh couldn't stop him, verse 10. The Lord looked down. He saw it all. He considered everything that was happening, 13 to 15. And yes, they had a big army with lots of horses, but it was all in vain, verse 16 to 17. God delivered them from death, the Red Sea, and he kept them alive in famine, the wilderness. Verse 19, so sing joyfully, Israel. And we too can sing as new covenant people, perhaps even more heartily, for God's plan for his people is still unfolding through his church. Ephesians 3:10, God's intent was that now, through the church, not through the nation anymore, but through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his forever purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The purpose of his heart through all generation powers on today through his church. So sing joyfully, Christian. Now, we can easily be frustrated by the church. Yes? Disheartened at times, bewildered even. We can be in a mess at times. At times there's a lack of clarity, there's apathy, there's conflict, and then there's the stuff that happens outside the leadership team. Last year I was reading a book about Lachlan Macquarie, fifth governor of New South Wales. He had a deep interest in the fledgling church in this country. At one point a CMS missionary turned up with an unauthorized book of Psalms, which were sung by the congregation. Macquarie ordered they not be sung again, but the Reverend Marsden defied his orders. So Macquarie wrote back to the colonial office for a ruling on the matter. And we think our disagreements about songs are big. And that's probably the best of the bewildering moments. But in the mess, there are miracles. Through the disappointments, there are delights. The purposes of God's heart are unfolding in his church today. I mean, one of the great Christian truths the Macquaries clung to was the common dignity of all humans in the image of God, black and white, slave and free, men and women. A miracle emerging out of the mess of the early colony. The purposes of God's heart through all generations are tied to his church, and your joy and my joy is caught up in that. So, if you're on a downer about church at the moment, and it happens from time to time, if you're seeing more bad than good, then ask the Lord for fresh eyes to see his love breaking through in his church. Don't let it fester, sister or brother. In Psalm 32, God deals with the internal threat of our own sin. In 31, he deals with the external threat of our troubles and trials, and we rejoice rightly in his work for us. But in 33, the joy is not about us at all or our circumstances. God is creator. Sing joyfully. God's purpose is unfolding in his church. Sing joyfully. Can you see the difference between those things? These things in 33 are not situational. Every minute, every hour, every day, every year, every decade, God's power is revealed in creation and his unfailing love in his church. So sing, Christian, and shout for joy. You've heard of baseload power? Psalm 33 is baseload joy. But even that's not the end, friends. Final point, the climax of joy is God himself. The final three verses, the focus is not on creation or redemption, but on the Lord. This is beautiful. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. And then the end. So intimate, so personal, so near. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. We've moved beyond all blessing now, and we focus simply on the beauty of the Lord himself. How wonderful, friends. The posture here is waiting for the Lord. Back then, they waited for his first coming. Today, we wait for his second. James 5:7, be patient then, sisters and brothers. Until the Lord's coming, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. What are you waiting for, friend? Right now, what are you waiting for? The restoration of your health or that of a loved one? Financial security? Retirement? I mean, not everyone's under 30. Your football team to win a premiership? Are you waiting to be noticed? To be honoured? To be vindicated? Are you waiting to get out of here and do something amazing for God? Are you waiting for a spouse? For a child? Are you waiting for the kids to leave home? For the kids to come home? Or maybe you're just waiting for the end of this talk. There's nothing wrong with waiting for stuff attached to this earth. But God says, don't put your hope in any of that stuff. It'll never satisfy truly or deeply. Lachlan Macquarie was 45 when he married Elizabeth, who was 29. They waited and waited for years for a child. Miscarriage after miscarriage. Eventually, young Lachlan was born. He grew up. He squandered everything and died a reckless, lonely drunk at 32. It's a dramatic story, I know, but I'm making the point that even when you get what you're waiting for on this earth, there are more troubles to come. But when the Lord comes, it will be all joy. Amen? For he is our help and our shield. Waiting for the Lord, friends, is not just another thing to wait for. Oh, thanks, Rog. I'll add that to my list. No, it's a different category of thing altogether that puts everything else in its place because it's about our hearts. Did you note the heart references in this Psalm 21? In him our hearts rejoice. Our posture is waiting for him because our pleasure is in him. Note the other references to heart. Verse 11, the purposes of God's heart stand firm through all generation. The Lord forms the hearts of all, verse 15. And only in him will our hearts find true joy. It makes sense, doesn't it? The one who forms the heart is the only one who can fulfill the heart. Oh, there's joy in the forgiveness of sins, 32. There's joy in the deliverance of trouble, 31. There's joy in creation. There's joy in God's purposes for his church. But ultimately, all the gifts fade into the background. And only the giver himself is on view at the end as the ultimate source of joy. Our hearts are restless, Augustine said, until they find their rest in the Lord. And I haven't lived a whole lifetime, but maybe half. It could take a lifetime of restlessness to get us to that point. But maybe today a simple step for you and for me is to stop chasing that which you know will not satisfy and redeploy that energy freed up into seeking God more deeply. William Smith was a missionary to Aboriginal people in the 1830s. In 1845, a select committee in the New South Wales Parliament was formed to report on the condition of Aboriginals. How did they view Europeans, Schmidt? They pitied us that we troubled ourselves with so many things. I could be wrong, but I'm guessing that you could trouble yourself less with a few things. Trouble yourself less about a few things and kindle more joy in your God. Our posture is waiting, for our pleasure is in him. Would you close your eyes with me for a moment? Just close your eyes, if you're comfortable. As hard as it is, can you imagine a moment in the future when all evil is conquered, when every sin is defeated, when every sorrow is past? Can you imagine a moment in the future when there are no more causes to fight, no more assessments to write, no more tears, no more fears? The King who suffered has brought us to God. He's brought you to God and me. He's brought us to God in all his fullness, so that God may be all in all. What a moment, friends. Can you say these words after me? In him our hearts rejoice. In him our hearts rejoice. For we trust in his holy name. We trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord. Even as we put our hope in you, even as we put our hope in you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to More in the Word, a podcast of More Theological College. Our vision as a college is to see God glorified by men and women living for and proclaiming Jesus Christ, growing healthy churches, and reaching the lost. In 2026, More College is giving thanks to God for his faithfulness over 170 years. Please join us in praying for the college. And if you're in Sydney, please consider coming along to one of our events. Every year, the Priscilla and Aquila Centre, a centre of More Theological College, holds a conference that focuses on the application end of complementarianism in order to encourage women in ministry and in order to think more seriously and creatively about how men and women can work better together in ministry. In 2026, plenary speaker Simon Flinders will be exploring the concept of the church as the family of God. What can we learn from Jesus' teaching about family, as well as other familial language in the Bible? And how do we apply this as siblings within God's family? Find out more at the Priscilla and Aquila Centre Annual Conference on Monday, the 2nd of February, 2026, held at Moore College. To view the program and to register, visit the Priscilla and Aquila website, paa.more.edu.au. That's paa.more.edu.au. You can find out more and register by going to the Moore College website, more, that's more.edu.au. If you have not already done so, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast through your favourite podcast platform so that you'll never miss an episode. For past episodes, further resources, and to make a tax-deductible donation to support the work of the college and its mission, please visit our website at more, that's more. edu.au. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend and leave a review on your platform of choice. We always benefit from feedback from our listeners, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can email us at comms, that's C-O-M-M-S, at more.edu.au. The More in the Word podcast was edited and produced by me, Karen Bielhartz, and the communications team at More Theological College. The music for our podcast was provided by Mark July from Pixabay. Until next time.